Amazing. Well, we are in for a great night tonight. Hey, before we get too far into it, can we just put our hands together in just a moment for the team here at Gateway and Pastor Singe for letting us have this incredible venue tonight. Pastor Singe, you're amazing. So good. And right now, give me a shout if you love your youth pastor or your leader. Let me hear it. All right. So my name's Aylin. We're in for a great night tonight. I know I've got the mic, but I want to get to know you guys a little bit as well. I've got a very important question that I want to ask you. And the answer to this question is really key. There are two types of people in this world. When you need a sweet treat, you are either reaching for the chocolate or the lollies. You're either reaching for chocolate or lollies. Give me a shout if you're reaching for the lollies tonight. Average. What about my chocolate people? Are you reaching for chocolate? These are my people. Okay, what about this one? When you need a refreshing cold milk drink, you need some cold milk, what are you going for? Are you choosing Nesquik or Milo? Nesquik or Milo? Give me a shout if you're choosing Nesquik. Give me a shout if you're choosing Milo. Yeah! We got some Milo fans. Milo is by far the superior drink. Okay. You're out at McDonald's. What are you selecting for dessert? Apple pie or McFlurry? Apple pie or McFlurry? Apple pie, give me a wave. McFlurry? Okay, what about if you need a breakfast cereal? What are you choosing? Fruit Loops or Cocoa Pops? Fruit Loops or Cocoa Pops? Give me a shout. Oh, we are dividing the crowd tonight. Give me a shout if you're choosing Fruit Loops. That's right, because Cocoa Pops is the superior snack. I knew it. We are on the same page tonight. I've got my husband Dave is going for the Fruit Loops, and I'm so glad that this is evidence for me to take to him tonight. Okay, final question for you. When you need a dessert, are you going jelly or ice cream? Jelly or ice cream? Give me a shout if you're going jelly. No. Because jelly should be illegal. That's why all my people who are choosing ice cream, give me a shout. You are my people. I'm in the right place tonight. You know, I remember a time, I love ice cream. It's my favorite dessert in the world. I remember a time when I was surrounded by ice cream. It was my first job I've ever had. Give me a wave if you got a job here. I was in year 11. It was my first job and I worked at an ice cream bar at Chadston. Give me a wave if you've ever been to Chadston. And I'm working at this ice cream bar, right? It's a regular Thursday night. And I'm working there with my manager and there's another girl on with us. And we're serving ice cream, you know, mango, banana, salted caramel, cookies and cream. That's right, banana is gross, right? I see that face. That's disgusting. That's right. That's where it's at. Or chocolate choc chip, my favorite flavor. Turn to the person next to you right now. Tell them your favorite ice cream flavor. Go. We got time. Mint choc chip. That's disgusting. Sit down. What's your favorite flavor? Lemon. Delicious. Goes great with lemon sorbet. Here we go. What's your favorite flavor? Cookies and cream. Delicious. Okay. Vanilla. Guys, we got a vanilla over here. We've got a vanilla. So, I'm working at this ice cream bar, right? It's a regular Thursday night. The tunes are pumping. My manager's there. There's another girl there working with us. And all of a sudden, my manager turns around because she can't find her mobile phone. My manager can't find the mobile phone. You know that panic that sets in where you can't find it? And she realizes that someone has leaned over the back of our ice cream bar and pinched her mobile. And it's gone. Her phone is gone. So, you know, we're now like We're now a bit down. The tunes are still going. We're still serving ice cream. But, you know, we've been the victims of a robbery. So we're a bit down. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, our music just totally cuts out. That was a terrible sound effect. Our music cuts out. And we look around us and we realize that the laptop that's been playing our music, the guy who's taken the phone has come back for the laptop and he's run off with it. And my manager turns to me and the other girl, I'm in year 11, and she yells out to me and her, run after him, go get our laptop. So I start running out of the ice cream bar and I'm running down the shops with this other girl. We're running past all the way, passed through the shops out of Chadston. We're trying to chase this guy. Then we're running out of the underground car park. We're chasing this dude and I start yelling out to him, we're going to catch you, mate. You better just give up now. Meanwhile, I haven't seen him. And look at me, I'm not going to take anyone on anytime soon. I definitely am not in any position to do that. But we're just chasing after this guy. And it gets to the point where we're out of the underground car park and we're about to cross the zebra crossing. A car that pulls up to let us cross the zebra crossing, and who does it happen to be but the Chadston security U. They pull up, right? I'm like, this is perfect. He's got his window down, and we're telling him, mate, did you see a guy run out just in front of us? Because he's stolen our laptop. The security guard looks at us. He's got his window down. He laughs, and he drives off. We're like, cheers, mate. No worries. Thanks, heap. So we just keep running, trying to chase this guy down the street. We've left the shops now. We've left the underground car park. We've left the entire Chadston shopping district precinct. We are now in suburbia and we're just running down random streets. And I don't know about you, but I'm not really into the beep test. So I stopped running. I was just like, I got puffed. I was gassed. I couldn't run anymore. So I'm like standing at the front of this house trying to catch my breath and I can't run anymore. And the house that I stopped in front of, there's a guy standing outside of his house. He owns that house and he's standing on his porch. He must have just come back from his 9-to-5 job. He's wearing like business stuff and he's drinking his coffee and he's looking at me being all huffed and puffed at the front of his place and he's looking at the side of his house where all his wheelie bins are very neatly lined up and he's looking at me and he's looking at his wheelie bins and he's looking at me and he's looking at his wheelie bins. All of a sudden, the wheelie bins start to wobble, they start to shake and out pops this dude holding a backpack. And I'm like putting two and two together. He makes his way across the lawn and I'm like, hey, what have you got in that backpack? You've got our laptop, don't you? You stole it. He's like, no, I don't have your laptop. The owner of the house gets involved. He's like, give those girls back their laptop. You've taken it. He's like, I don't have their laptop. We had valuable data on this laptop, thousands of transactions of ice cream cones that we needed to save. So fast forward 15 seconds, the guy is standing in the middle of the road with the laptop above his head yelling, I'm gonna smash it, I'm gonna smash it. I'm like, don't do it, bro. Just put it down softly on the grass next to you and you can just walk away. He's like, I'm gonna smash it. Just put it down on the ground next to you. The guy looks around. He leans over, kind of sheepishly, leaves it on the grass and just walks away down the street. We grab the laptop, we scoop it up in our arms and then we yell out to him, give us back the phone too. He's like, I don't have your phone. We're like, don't worry about it. We've got the laptop. Come on, give year 11 version of me a round of applause tonight. You know, we walked back to the ice cream bar. We thought we were heroes. Our manager's still serving strawberry ice cream. She's like, how'd you go? We're like, we got the laptop. We're like, yeah, we're amazing. You know, I didn't think I was doing anything. Like, I thought I was at the right place at the right time, following the right thing. And I was just following who my manager told me to follow. My dad picks me up from work. Whose dad picks them up? Whose parents pick him up? My dad picks me up from work that night and I tell him, and I reckon he's going to be pumped, right? I tell him, hey, this is what we did today. He looks at me and he is fuming. It's not the reaction I was expecting. And he starts telling me off. He's like, what if this guy had a knife? What if this guy chose to fight you? And you know what? I hadn't really thought that far ahead. And I definitely didn't think that I was going to be getting in trouble by my dad. He was not impressed. Has anyone been in that situation? A little while later, I have another shift at the ice cream bar with our big manager, our big boss. And I think he's going to be, you know, so thankful that I saved the company their laptop. And he looks at me, he's like, you guys should have never have done that. You are worth so much more than a laptop. So I'm feeling a little bit down. You know, I didn't realize that what I was doing was leading me to a place that could potentially cause danger to my year 11 self. I didn't think about where following this guy was gonna take me. I was just thinking that I'm following this person that someone else has told me to follow. I was following the right thing at the right time, and I didn't think of where it would lead me. You know, it's the same for us in our everyday lives. Sometimes we can be following things and we're not thinking about where it's going to lead us. Sometimes we can be following things and we don't realize that what we're chasing after is representing a danger to our life. I'm not talking about someone coming to rip off your laptop. I'm talking about something that's come to rip off your life. You see, we can all be following something. We're all chasing something. What are you following? What are you chasing? In the world, we can be chasing a bunch of different things. We can be following the latest trends. We can be following the current popularity thing. We can be following what makes people popular. We can be following what feels good in the moment. We can be following the crowd. But let me tell you what you need to understand is that everything we follow will lead us somewhere. Everything we follow has a destination. And like so many people in this room tonight, I know that when we follow the wrong thing, it leads us to a place of hurt, it leads us to a place of pain, and it leads us to brokenness. But let me tell you about someone who's worth following tonight. I want to read a passage of scripture to you from Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. It's about a guy named Jesus. Let me read it to you. As Jesus was walking behind the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Everyone say two brothers. Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake because these guys were fishermen. Jesus says to them, "Come and follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of people." At once, these guys leave their nets and they followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and they were in a boat with their dad, Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus calls out to them, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. They followed him. So Jesus is walking along. He sees these guys and he calls out to them. He's hanging out with them. He's chatting to them. He's spending some time with them. And then he says, "Hey, come and follow me." These guys leave everything behind. They leave all their stuff from their fishing business, their nets, their boats, their everything, their catch, and they go and follow Jesus. Here's what I notice about this passage. I want to highlight to you a few things that I can see in this passage. The first thing tonight is that Jesus sees the fishermen. Jesus sees the fishermen. I don't know if there's not many people tonight here wearing glasses. I might be like one of the few. My friend Chloe down the front wearing glasses with me. I can't see very far. I haven't got great eyesight, but this is what I know. I don't see what's going on in your world. I don't know what it's like for you at home. I can barely see 2 feet out in front of me, let's be honest. But I don't know what's going on in your world. I can't see you when you're getting ready to go to for school and you're traveling and you're doing your thing day in and day out. But Jesus sees these fishermen. He sees that as they're getting ready to go to work and they're putting on their stinky fishing clothes and they're getting in their boats, the same thing that they do day in and day out. They go out into the sea. Jesus sees them, and Jesus sees you tonight as well. I might not see you. I don't know what's going on in your world, but Jesus sees you and he knows what's going on in your world. Second thing that I notice in this passage, first thing, he sees you. Second thing is that he has an invitation for you. He's hanging out with these fishermen and he invites them to come and follow me. Who here is learning how to drive? Anyone? Yeah, a few hands. I hated learning how to drive. Let me tell you, I'm not a good driver on the best of days. I'm safe and all the rest, but there's just so many buttons and things, and like, it's not my forte. This weekend, I'm hanging out with a friend out in the country, right? And we're going from one place to another. I didn't know where we were. She lives in the country. I'm obviously over here down the southeast. And I'm visiting her and we're driving one place to another. She's in her car, I'm in mine. It's dark, it's foggy, it's cold, it's nighttime. So I put my lights on and I'm driving around the country and I'm thinking, man, this is really hard to see. And I've got my lights on, but like it's only like illuminating a little, like a few centimeters out in front of me. And I'm thinking, man, the country is dark, but all I need to do is follow my friend who's in the car in front of me because she knows where she's going. She knows the destination. It's her house. She knows the route to get there. So when we get to her house, and I realized I don't even have my proper lights on. I've just got my parking lights on. But it didn't matter because I was following my friend, and she knew the route to get to the destination. She knew how to get to her house. Friend, let me tell you, you might not know where you're going. You might not know where you're heading, but when you follow Jesus, He gives you an invitation to follow Him, and He knows the route. He knows where you're going. He knows the final destination. The destination is a life with Him, and He has an invitation for you. He had an invitation for these fishermen to follow Him, and friend, let me tell you, He's got an invitation tonight for you to follow Him. He sees you. He invites you to follow Him. The third thing that I see in this passage is that these fishermen left everything behind to follow Him. They left everything behind to follow Him. You don't see these fishermen grab their boats and grab their nets and start dragging it around as they follow Jesus. They left it behind. They deemed that nothing else was more important than following Jesus. You know, when you leave stuff behind to follow Him, I've never heard anyone say ever, man, I just wish that thing was still in my life. I just wish that thing that I left behind to follow Jesus was still here. It doesn't happen. Because when you leave things behind to follow Jesus, that space, that empty space that it leaves, God comes and He fills it. He fills it with hope. He fills it with purpose. He fills it with His promises. He fills it with Himself. Friends, you got to know that He sees you. He's inviting you to follow Him. And you can leave things behind because it is so worth it. This isn't something I've read about in the Bible. It's something that I've experienced for myself. I'd love to get the keys to come up in this moment. You know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in a non-practicing Catholic background. I knew of God, but I definitely didn't have a relationship with Him. And when I was in high school, a friend invited me along to a youth group, to a youth night, not too dissimilar to this. So I go along to youth. And let me tell you, I thought it was a little bit strange. I thought it was a little bit weird. The band were playing slow songs. When people were singing, they had their hands up in the air. And I felt this feeling in my stomach. I felt a little bit uncomfortable. And I realized that feeling that I felt, it's something that I never felt before. It was actually God, and He was drawing me in. He was inviting me to come and follow Him. I made a decision to follow Him. Throughout high school, I started going to the youth ministry at our local church, and after high school, I joined the youth leadership team there. This guy from the country moves to the city. His name's Dave, and he joins the leadership team as well, right? I see him. I like him straight away. I'm like, tall, good-looking, blonde guy. I'm like, hello, my name's Aylin. He liked someone else. Don't worry. I got him. Come on. If that's not a plug for youth leaders, come on, youth is the best place to be. And if you're a youth leader, time to look around your youth leadership. Side note, that's a total side note. You know, when I was growing up in high school, right? In high school, my parents didn't have a good marriage. It was rocky at home. It was definitely not a place of peace. It wasn't great. And my mum and I were moving in and out of our home constantly all the time. And because of the turmoil at home, my mind was not in a good spot. You know, my friends at school started to follow a path. They were going down a path of self-harm. They were going down a path of eating disorders. And because I liked them, because I was hanging out with them every day and I wanted to be like them, I went down that same path that they did, and I was following them. And it led me to a place of brokenness. It led me to a place of pain, led me to a place of being hurt. And I was depressed and I was alone. And see, this is the thing. When I made a decision to follow Jesus, I stopped going in one direction and I started following Him. I turned away from this direction and I started going in His path for my life. You see, the situation, when I decided to start following Jesus, my situation at home didn't change. I was still part of the same family. I was still living in the same house. But the direction I was going in all of a sudden changed. And no longer was I following my friends at school, but I was following a new path. I was going in Jesus's direction. I was going one way, and now I was turned and I was going a different way. I was on the wide path.
road. Now I was going on the narrow road. You know, the Bible says wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to life, and few people find it. Friend, let me tell you, I turned from one way and I started going another way. And as I went further and further down this narrow road, I was leaving more and more stuff behind. You know, I got down that road and it wasn't instant. It took time. But as I went down that road, I left the body image stuff behind. And as I went down that road, I left that pattern of destructive behavior behind. And friend, let me tell you, I'm still walking that road with Jesus day in and day out because I've made a decision to follow him. I know God is real. I know he's in the business of adding people into the kingdom of God and changing people's lives because he's added me into the kingdom of God and he's changed my life. Friend, let me tell you, he is real. He is real. There is a God and he loves you. There is a God and he is for you. I don't know your situation, but God does. He is for you and he loves you. God is love. What you also need to understand is God is love, but there is also sin in the world. Sin is real. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why 1 in 5 people are suffering with mental illness. That's why 1 in 4 have been abused. That's why 1 in 2 marriages are breaking down. Sin is real in the world today. I look around and I see war and violence and anger in our world. Sin is a real part of our life. And the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This isn't the way God intended it to be. He intended for us to follow him. But all this stuff is a result of sin in the world. You know, the Bible says that we've all stuffed up. I've stuffed up, you've stuffed up. I've stuffed up just as much as anyone else here in this room. And God laid it out for us. He said, this is the path to follow. But we have all chosen to follow our own ways, to follow our own things. And that is called sin. That's what the Bible calls sin. Maybe for you, you found yourself following something that's led you into a pattern of destructive behavior. Maybe you find yourself following something that's led you to a place of addiction, that's led you to a place of hurt, that's led you to a place of pain, that's led you to a place of broken relationships. Friend, maybe you found yourself following stuff that's led you to its core to sin, that's led you to sin. But this is what you need to know. That God loved you so much that while you and I were still sinners, he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to live a perfect life without sin. He never sinned. He knew no sin. He lived the perfect life, the life we were unable to live. And he paid the price for our sin by dying on a Roman cross. 3 days later, he rose again victorious over death, sin, and shame so that we could have a relationship with him. He has paid the price for our mistakes. He's paid the price for our sin. And the Bible says, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, if you're following him, you get a clean slate. Your sins are forgiven. You get your slate wiped clean. The penalty for sin has been paid by Jesus Christ. Here's what I want to do. Right across this place, I want to ask you, would you just stand to your feet right now? Right across this place, would you stand up? You know, Jesus is hope. So when you follow him, you walk in his hope for you. Jesus is forgiveness. When you follow him, you walk in the freedom that he's paid for you because he's already paid for your forgiveness on the cross. He died and rose again for you. Jesus is love. So when you follow him, you walk in his powerful love for you. I want to ask you tonight a question in just a few moments. I want to ask you, who are you following tonight? Youth Alive Peninsula, who are you following? Are you following God? Are you on the path to follow him, or are you following something else? Because friend, let me tell you, when you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, you will start your journey to follow him. I don't know where you are with God. Right across this place, would you bow your head and close your eyes? This is just between you and God right now, and I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision tonight to follow him. I'm not asking if you're religious. I'm not asking if you go to church. I'm not asking if you go to a Christian school. I'm asking you if you're following Jesus. I'm asking you if you have a relationship with him. And right now, I want to ask you, if you want to get right with God, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. So right across this place, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to three. And if you want to get right with God, right across this place while no one's looking around, I want you to stick your hand up right in there and say, yeah, that's me. I want to get right with God. One, this is the greatest decision you'll ever make. Two, this isn't about the person next to you. It's just between you and God. Three, if you want to get right with Him, why don't you put your hand up in the air right now? If you're saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. Jesus, I'm starting my new journey with you tonight. I want to get right with God. Hands going up all over this place, all over this place. Stick it up nice and high. If you're saying, I want to follow you, Jesus, from this moment forward. Yeah, this hands going up all over this place. There's still time. If that's you and your heart's beating a million miles an hour, I want to encourage you. Why don't you stick your hand up straight in the air? Amazing, amazing. Hey, here's what I want to do. You can put your hands down. There are so many people who have put their hands up. I'd love to pray with you just out the front here. Here's what I want to do. If you've put your hand up, I want you to come and stand right down the front here. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come? If you made a decision to follow Jesus tonight, I want to ask you, why don't you come and stand on the front? Come on, let's give these guys a hand tonight. Come on down, come on down. If you put your hand up, keep coming, keep coming. This whole place is going to be packed. There are so many hands that are going out. If you're still here at the back, why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, hey, if you want to go, I'll go with you. If you want to go, I'll go with you. Amazing. Hey, let me tell you, if you stuck your hand up tonight, if you're at the front, this is the best decision you can ever make. This is the greatest decision of your life. I made it for myself and it's totally changed my life. I left one direction, I'm going another one with Jesus. Congratulations, this is amazing. Hey, I'd love to pray for you right now in this moment. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say a line and I'd love you to repeat it after me. And what we're going to do right across this place from the front to the back, we're going to repeat it as well to support you in this decision that you've made. Come on, repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, tonight I'm giving you my life. I'm making a decision to follow you. I know I'm a sinner. I thank you for your forgiveness. I believe you died on a cross and rose again to set me free. From this moment forward, I'm following you. In your mighty name, amen, amen. Come on, let's give these people a round of applause tonight. This is the greatest decision you can ever make. This is the most powerful decision you will ever make. This is a defining moment in your life. Right now, here's what I'm doing. If you're down the front, I want you to stay here just for a couple of more moments. What we want to do is help you in this journey as you follow God. We want to put some resources in your hand. We want to give you a Bible tonight, and we want to cheer you on in this journey. So I've got a friend at one of these doors just over here, and we'd love to send you out to the foyer just for a couple of moments. You'll be back in here in just a second. You're not going to miss anything. We'd love to give you a Bible if you don't have one and give you some resources to help you in this journey. So if you want to follow some of our friends who are just outside this door, they'd love to have a chat with you, pray with you, give you a Bible, and then you're coming back in just a few moments. Would you follow these people out here? Come on, let's give these guys an amazing hand tonight. Come on, let's keep clapping them out. This is the best decision you can ever make. This is an important moment in your life. Congratulations. You'll be back in just a few seconds. Amazing, amazing. All right, here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do. Right across this place, if you're here right now, I'm assuming you've already made a decision. And if there's any stragglers in the room right now and you're saying, hey, I still want to make a decision to follow Jesus, it's not too late to walk out that door and join these people and you can come back in one moment. Hey, this is what I want to do right now. If you're here, I'm assuming that you're a believer, right? Hey, this passage that we looked at from Matthew, Jesus
is hanging out with Simon Peter and the guys in the fishing business. We see this passage as well. Listen up for just one second. We see this passage as well in the book of Luke. And in the book of Luke, we get a little bit more context, right? Jesus is preaching to a crowd. And to get a better spot to preach to, he jumps in Simon Peter's boat. He says, Simon Peter, let me jump in. I'm going to preach from there. Once he finishes preaching, he turns to Simon Peter and says, why don't you put your boat out into deep water? Simon Peter says to him, Jesus, we've been fishing all night. Everyone say all night. All night. And we haven't caught a thing. They caught zilch, zip, and nothing. But because you say so, I'll go back out. And we'll let down our nets. So they head back out into deep water. They let down their nets and they catch such an abundance of fish that they have to get their mates over in another boat to come around and help them. And both boats begin to sink. Simon Peter turns to Jesus and he says, Jesus, I'm a sinful man. Leave me. You know what Jesus says to him? He says, Simon Peter, come follow me. And I'm going to make you fishers of men. No longer will you fish for fish in the sea, but you're going to fish for men and women and add them into the kingdom of God. Here's why this scripture blows me away. Because Simon Peter then left his fishing business. He left it all behind to follow him. Why did Jesus bless his business so much? Why did Jesus bless him with all these fish? It's to blow Simon Peter away, to say, hey, this is what life with me looks like. This is how I can bless you. This is what I can do in the supernatural. I can provide more than you can ever dream or imagine. Imagine what I can do with souls. Imagine how I can add people into the kingdom of God. Here's what I want to ask you tonight, friend. If you're here and you're saying, God, would you use me to be a light to my friends, to see my friends and my family be added into the kingdom of God? God, would you use me to fish for people? I want you to come down the front. If you're a youth pastor, youth leader, a youth kid, it doesn't matter. If you're saying, God, would you use me to extend your kingdom? Would you use me to see the lost get saved? I want you to come stand right down the front, put your hands up in the air and start telling God as we sing this song, God, would you use me? God, would you use me? Come on, would you lift your hands right across this place? Would you start telling him, God, I want to see my family saved. God, I want to see my friends get saved. God, I'm ready. Would you use me? Would you use me? Come on, lift your voice tonight. Sing it out to him. If you're saying, God, would you use me? Sing out to him. Come on.